Yeah, Grant's got the best closet of all of us, I swear.
I could always
Unless...
hop into my wedding suit, in my
Oh
Batman
yeah.
wedding suit that I got married in.
Yeah. Justin's suit that he got married in is freaking awesome. It's just like a bunch of just a bunch of Batman logos everywhere. It's crazy. So it's awesome though. I love it. All right. Well, welcome to the Talkcast, everybody. I am the most exhausting man on the planet, John Engel. with me as always is Justin Comp,
The second
the
most
boom,
hired person. Yes,
the purplish fuchsia mohawk this year instead of bright
sir.
blue. And welcome to the Comicsburg Three Rivers Comic Con pre-show takeover featuring Big Phil. So, yeah, man. So,
Thank
if
you.
you ever wonder who the really tall black dude with the camera is always filming in all our stores, that's Phil.
Hey, that is def. That's, ooh, let me take my Dahmers off. Hold on, we live. We gotta take the glasses off. That's no. It's funny you said that because I definitely me and we were just I was just in there filming not too long ago. So
Yeah.
that's real. It's real.
Yeah, it was always funny because like some of the staff who don't know you, like they'll be like, "This guy's in there filming. Is he allowed to film over there?" I'm like, "That's just Phil. Like, yeah, I don't care.
Right, right,
Like,
right.
digging dollar bins looking for creators. I don't care. Yeah, let him go, man. It's good. It's good.
Listen,
My
and it
thing."
wasn't Phil though.
If it wasn't Phil, then I'd have to be like, "Hey, man, who are you?" Like,
For sure, for sure.
so. But you know, I mean, you're at least always friendly and cordial. If you were a dick about it, we'd have
Oh, for sure, man. I
a
mean, I definitely try to respect the space. You know, I'm not one of the people. I don't try to bogart and come in and try to get it. But you know, I am very. I try to respect the space as well. But I am going at the end of the day. I am going to get my footage at the same time as well. So, you
it's
know.
all good. It's all good. Yeah, like before we went on the air, like, you know, we were talking a little bit and we were talking about, you know, like, so Phil's got, not only are you a videographer and director, you have a,
Exhibit
I can't
coming.
think, exhibit. That's the word I was looking for. Coming up down at the August Wilson Center.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you pitch that for everybody before we talk about, the comics and stuff we got going on for the show?
Right, so you know a little bit about myself. Big Phil, I'm Pittsburgh native. I love my city. I put on for my city, but I'm also a father and educator, collector, DJ, producer, et cetera. I do it all. But I have such a profound love of the culture, the comic book culture. And you know, for me, being a filmmaker, I'm so busy doing projects for other people and things of that nature. So I said, you know, it's time for me to go ahead and do something, you know, for myself. And you know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a mecca for Black comic book history, and a lot of people, you know, don't know that. And it's important that that we tell our story. So, you know, I feel like nobody can tell our story better than me. So I put myself up the task to do that. You know, Pittsburgh is the home of the Courier, which was like the first Black newspaper, which had literally the first Black comic strips were in the Courier. You have Jackie Orms, who was known as the first Black female cartoonist. She's also from Pittsburgh. And then of course you got the great Matt Baker, who's on the Mount Rushmore of artists, who is one of the very first Black comic book artists of all time. One of the people who he drew women so well that the Comics Code, you know, he's in what's that book? Seduction of the Innocent or whatever that is. He's, you know, they have some of his images are in there. And you know, Matt Baker lived on Susquehanna Street in Homewood. He went to Westinghouse.
He did the Phantom Lady cover.
He
Yeah.
had Phantom Lady. Yeah,
Creator of Phantom Lady. Yep.
he went to Westinghouse. As a matter of fact, there are some in one or two of his romance comics that he drew. They have on Westinghouse shirts. They have on Westinghouse Letterman jackets and sweaters.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know
And
that.
in one of the yearbooks, he drew the building. So, and it's in actually in the yearbook. So it's in one of the particular yearbooks. There's a, and it's signed Matt Baker. So, and we're also in the, shout out to my man, Kahari. We are also in the process of getting a street named after Matt Baker in Pittsburgh as well.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So, you know, it's real What's big. Up? So, and I always do a lot of different things with the August Wilson Center. So I was talking to them and, I'm putting together an exhibit. And it's just, and the exhibit's just been taken on different, it's just taken on different levels. Like, I can't even go into some of the stuff that's going to be in there because it's going to be, like, back, there's nothing but, like, it's mostly my comic collection, but there's going to be original art, facsimiles, none of that. And I have some of the top artists giving me stuff. I got my own shit, to be honest. I got some nice shit, too. No, don't get it twisted. I have some heat. But I have some really dope artists sending me some stuff and some really dope collectors sending me some stuff. And there's going to be things that people can't believe they've seen. Like it's one thing to see it in the comic form, but to see the actual factual pencils itself is a whole nother thing. So we will have that as well. And, you know, we're thinking there's going to be there's going to be a couple variant, you know, specialty comics that I may have there as well that will be only for the exhibit. And then at the exhibit, we're going to show my film. So I know I'm giving you a lot. I'm trying to put it all in context. So like for the last,
it's all good, man. It's all good.
The last couple of years, actually, I've been going all around the United States, filming people. And it's actually just really been really my journey. That's why it's called Collections in Black. So it's about Black collectors, Black artists, Black writers, Black comics. And it's been a journey. So it's, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but Stroman's in the film. John Jennings is in the film. Sean Martinborough's in the film. Lashley's in the film. Still Freeze is in the film.
I was just going to ask, like, I hope you got Brian because he's a great dude, man. Like, he's one of most, like, gentle and soft-spoken dudes I've ever met. And he was the nicest guy. The nicest guy.
I think he's another guy that's like on the Mount Rushmore of just comic creators in general. So it's just, you know, it's and you know, the way I shot it, you know, this isn't going to be one of these raggedy documentaries. This is the real deal. You know, I'm actually having real conversations about this particular film as well. So it's not a game. You know, we're out here and I'm being very serious. I'm laser focused on what I'm trying to do. But I just think that it's a film that it's for everybody. You don't have to be a hardcore collector. You don't even have to like comics. It's just something that when you see this and it's done, you'll be able to appreciate it. So, you know.
So at the end of the episode, we'll actually show it. We're only going to do it that way because we'll show you the trailer. Mostly because YouTube sometimes thinks stuff that's not copywritten is copywritten and or that we may not have permission to do it. So I don't want to end the feed randomly until then. Right. So if it randomly spikes us, we'll do it at the end. So we have our conversation in person. Sound good?
For sure.
All right,
for
man. Sure. All right. Like I'm excited. I'm excited that you're coming out and hanging out with us on the show too. I know I when I saw the trailer and I saw Todd and Larry in there, I was excited. I'm super pumped that, you know, they're going to relaunch the tribe at our show. I mean, I think that's a big deal. You know, Don Simpson, actually, he's friends with those guys too. And he just was giving those guys some love on social media today. I'm real, real excited. Larry was one of my favorite artists growing up because I loved X Factor. Right. And I'm a big Peter David guy. So, you know, he got to work with him. You know, it's good. That's good. So cool.
Dope.
All right. So, Grant's got a Kickstarter. Well, okay. Yeah, we'll go that way. I was like, this is a great segue into the show and guests. But, like, now I'm like, fuck it. We're going right to Grant. Whatever. Yeah. Grant's a guest too. We're good. You can tell how my day has been going, right? So,
manic. It's
easy, panic. John. Easy. It's cool. We're going to have to get out the edibles here. Okay.
Well, yeah. So, I got a box of suckers coming with me to the con.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? You think I'm kidding?
No, I know you're going to do it.
Right. I'll be visiting your table then.
I don't have a table. I got my
feet. We'll just walk around.
I got pockets. I got pockets. I hope you like sleep because all the ones I have are heavy for sleep. So they'll put you out. My aunt accidentally ate one when she was visiting. 20 minutes later, she's passed out on my couch. So I was like, oh, crap. All right. So, Grant, let's talk. Talk about this. Beowulf trade paperback.
Yeah, this is just the pre-launch page for now. But, a month from now, we're going to launch the Beowulf trade paperback. If you're one of those people who doesn't mess around with individual issues and you wait for the trade paperback, well, now is the time to step forward, because if you've heard me talking about Beowulf and you think it sounds interesting, like I said, the trade paperback is going to be out in about a month. Or it's not going to be out. It's going to be on Kickstarter.
Tell us about Beowulf there, Grant. What's Beowulf about?
So Beowulf is the story that everybody remembers from high school. That guy has been reincarnated in modern times as a 30-something slacker. But the most important thing to remember is his sidekick is a cat with magic powers. Because I'm pretty sure Mooney is the main reason why everybody is reading.
And that Mooney plush is coming soon, right?
Right. Yeah. So this is going to be the paperback. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Eventually, we have a lot of plans for Beowulf over the next couple of years. Let's worry about one thing at a time, right?
Yeah.
Right. Indeed. Ah, man.
It's all about the merchandising.
Which story is that, John?
I'm in Cranberry.
Oh, okay. So, I've never actually been to the Cranberry store.
Yeah, it's tiny. As Marvin found out the other day. This was the same store that was featured like in the shots of me walking around the books on the news. That's where I was when that happened. So
I've never been to the Cranberry store. Ever.
It's tiny. It like you can fit four cranberries in the dollar room at the mill.
Wow.
That's small. Maybe three. It's probably three.
Hey, John, thanks for unboxing my diamond shipment.
Hey, I was like, oh, there's a bag, of, like a nice canvas bag in here. I might keep that.
Yeah, I went to a convention in L.A., I mean, Las Vegas, and they was giving out those bags. So I just snagged a bunch of them. How many can we take? As many as you want. All right. You said it.
At cons with lanyards, because they usually have like the big just dumped bin of lanyards, and I'm always like, oh, taking these back for the staff.
Big pile.
So let me ask you this too. I'm not the person asking questions in the podcast, but you know, I decided I might as well ask a question as well.
But you can.
So I know there's people that are tuning in and wondering about the con tomorrow. Like what are some of the things that people can expect from the con, being that it is like literally right around the corner? Like if people just tuning in right now, like what are the things that separate, why should people want to come to this particular con?
I do this enough and I talk a lot, so I'm gonna let Justin talk. So I'm just fucking up.
I'm pressure so, on
do you want me right, to answer
don't,
that
don't fuck it up or you're by yeah. practice tomorrow, buddy.
I mean,
okay, I can do the floor all day, John.
I can tell you why I love Three Rivers.
Sure.
I mean, Three Rivers Con is my favorite comic book convention. And the reason why is because it's actually a comic book convention.
Right.
It's not.
You're here.
So Three Rivers Con is a smaller convention than the other conventions. There's not going to be as many people there. But everybody who's there is there to read comic books.
For sure.
That's what I like. I get fed up with trying to talk to people and they're like, Oh, yeah, I love Captain America. He's my favorite character. I have a Captain America toy. I have a Captain America model. I have a Captain America cosplay. I have a Captain American DVD. Well, do you have any Captain America comic books? No. Well, why not?
Right.
You know, my best my question to that kind of person is always, which Captain America is your favorite? Chris Evans. They look at me like, what?
Chris Evans is my favorite Captain America.
Shut up.
But it, if Bucky, you're
Bucky's you mine, know, so there you go.
There you go.
Sebastian Stan.
In the seriousness, Grant, you're right. It's more old school. This is like your dad's or grandfather's, depending on which generation you're from.
Right.
Of it's a small show with vendors from across the United States, you know, all from different states. What? We almost had somebody from Canada, right, John, or someone close there.
Every year we flirt with a couple guests that are from Canada, and it usually just works out that they have something else going on that they can't make.
Yeah.
But a couple times we've come very close to having a couple guys.
Yeah. So, you know, we get them from all over the place, and that's always a big selling point, is you're getting comic vendors that you don't see all the time.
Right, right.
And that's always a big thing. We do get some really good, like you said, Pittsburgh's a very big mecca for creatives of, you know, we have what? Ron Friends coming. We have Wayne Foucher, and they're all local guys, and they love Pittsburgh. They love being around the area. Right. And, you know, that's nice to have those local guys. And then, you know, they'll talk to some of the other guys in Baltimore and New York and Chicago going, hey, if you ever want to do a smaller show, come down to Pittsburgh. And, you know, we'll get a couple here and there. John gets to deal with that more than I do.
Okay.
But we like to pride ourselves on, we'd like to be somewhere like Baltimore Comic Con, the way they have it, where it is a lot of comics in Baltimore. We'd love to be around that size in a couple years.
Right.
And, you know, we still have the cosplayers, and we still have the, you know, the vendors that do the 3D printing for costumes and dice and all the tabletop games, because we don't want to exclude those people too, because we're all one big nerdy family. We've all played D&D at least once in our life, one way or another, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's fine. I'm cool with that. But we're not like Steel City, where we have celebrity after celebrity after celebrity after celebrity.
Right, right, right.
And I think people are getting kind of tired of that. Like, at least the huge shows that cost way too much. And we don't like to do that. We right. like to have creators, writers, artists, what have you, that actually have worked on comic books.
I think that, you know, for me, I like both. I think that, you know, for me, I believe, you know, I feel like there's room for both. I am a super hardcore collector. You know, I don't do reprints. I don't even like, to be honest with you, I don't like the new trend of second printings and all of that shit. I don't like that, but that's one of the story. But I'm also one of them people where I also don't mind the pop culture aspect of it. So, but I also know that when I go to this particular con, I'm going for this. When I go to this particular con, I'm going for this. I also have kids. So there's times where my kids want to see all the different celebrities or the Pokemon or people who played in whatever TV show or whatever. So for me, I feel like there's both. But then there's also times where, like, for instance, so when I come to this particular con, there's a brother by the name of Peter that lives in Germany who comes down for this one.
Yep.
And that's my Spider-Man. Guy. That's my guy. You know, you know, we linked. I've met him online, and we always tried to link up. I remember the one time, something was wrong with his phone, or he couldn't get his phone to work in the States or whatever. And I had a secret spot where I used to dig for books at. And I kind of told him about it. And we just wound up The first time we met was in this space, this other space. And I'm like, he was like, Phil, I was like, Pete. And so we just went right to it. And then the last time he came up, we went out to eat and whatever. So I do believe, I for me personally, I believe there is space for both of them. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like when I come to this particular one, though, I feel like, you know, it's about business. Like I get, and I will say this, though, I did find a book at yours that I never found anywhere else. And I bought it for myself. I bought it for somebody else and I should have kept it for myself. And it's a grail piece that I always wanted. And as soon as I seen it, I'm in a group of collectors. We're in a private group of black collectors. And when I go to these cars, I'll sit back and I'm in a message group like, hey, yo, they got this, they got this, they have this, they have this. And a lot of times I'll just buy them. They don't give it to them for the price or whatever it was. So I will say I found some books at y'all space that I've never found anywhere else.
So. Well, we do pride ourselves in having some of the best comic dealers in the at least in the east side of the country. Right. I was just thinking while Justin was talking, and we pretty much have someone from almost every state east of the Mississippi coming to the show as a vendor or an artist. Like we have guys like Larry who's coming in from Boston. We have Josh Blaylock who's coming in from Chicago, Maria Wolf coming in from Chicago. We have Todd and there's another vendor coming out of Detroit. Weirdly, we became like a slightly eastern haven for a lot of creators from Detroit area, which has been great. You know, like, 'cause there's a lot of talent in Detroit and even Chicago. Like, they're like, oh, we don't want to go all
Detroit's,
the way down.
I think Detroit's one of the biggest city for one of the biggest cities for creators on the low. I was just there, and to find out who's all from Detroit was literally mind blowing. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a whole. You know, I mean, Todd's from Detroit, so
yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's great, man. Like, but you know, and you said you have kids. Like, we do have a lot of stuff that's geared toward kids too. We are a family friendly event. So like, you're not going to walk by and just be like porn on a shelf. Like, it's going to be, yeah. All right. Look at that titties. I mean, wait. So, I mean, you're going to find stuff for kids. You're going to find toys. You're going to find gaming stuff. You're going to find all kinds of things. You know, we have like the nerdy beret people, like Cafe Beret. They're great. We have guys that are doing, gaming. We have authors, like not just comic writers, but actual authors. You know, it's a good time, and we're all very, like, we're all just one big nerdy family, right? And you know, it's one of the most, like, I consider our show one of the most safe spaces for nerds in the city, because I don't care who you are, you came to celebrate being a nerd. Like, whether you're a cosplayer, you're a comic book guy, you're looking for magic cards, you're looking for toys, you know, you just want to get your shit graded. Like, you're not even buying anymore and you just want to get it graded. We have CBCS there. They'll do comics, magazines, manga, VHS, cards, sports cards, all kinds of crap. It's nuts. And you know, we strategically may have put CBCS right beside Larry and Todd because, you know, and then on the other side, we may have just surrounded them with Comicsburg people. I don't know. So,
and I was going to say, especially in a sports town like Pittsburgh, wherever the culture is immersed in sports, you know, but even our sports stars are giant nerds, Cam Hayward is a huge MCU Marvel guy. Him and Robert Downey Jr. had that interaction during COVID.
When A.J. Burnett played for the Pirates, he had a pull in that box right there. He bought his comic in this store like every week. It was he'd come in and get his stuff. It was awesome. So, but yeah, I think the show is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Me too.
I think it's going to be challenging to get through all of the random extra crap going on this weekend, I think it'll be worth it for the people who come down.
But I think that's good for foot traffic, though. I think that's a really good space for foot traffic. I think there's so much going on in this city this weekend.
And you know what? We're the only one that has air conditioning.
that's definitely a selling point also. Like, that's one of those things that, you know, when you make your post, we have air conditioning. You know,
come in and cool off.
It changes.
Don't forget, when you're done at the parade, come and cool off.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that's right.
Dude, arts festival. That's come right. And cool off.
There's arts festival. There's the pride. Is the pride thing this weekend too?
Yep. The pride parade is Saturday morning.
Okay.
They line up at 10. They kick off at 12, and they'll be done by 1. So if you don't want to deal with the parade, just come down around 2 o'clock. You still got 5 hours worth of shopping to go. It'll be a good time, or just come Sunday. Either way, you know, it'll be fun.
So is it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday and Sunday?
Just Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
Tomorrow's just load in. Okay. So, yeah.
But if you want to come in early and BS, more than that.
You know what? And I think I might come in and film tomorrow just to show the process of setting up and some things like mm-hmm. that with some people. You know, I might. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I can give you one of these sweet. I just printed these up today. There we go.
Now we cooking with grease. Let's go.
Get a press pass like Clark Kent.
You know.
Right? You got to get a hat and put your press pass in your hat.
There you go.
The underlining positive also about our show is because we are in downtown, you get some of the best restaurants in the city.
DP. Oh, yeah.
And you get some of the best food, especially right. if you're a foodie, you're going to love Pittsburgh.
Right.
Dude, the now, station,
if you're a diet,
and they're freaking good ghost for pepper you. Fries. Hell yeah, man.
I don't know about
Mr. Eyes watering over the Diablo pepper fries.
Come on, we're going for breakfast tomorrow in the strip district before we let everybody load in. So
yeah,
get over to Pamela's and get a big freaking pancake. It's gonna be awesome.
Y'all paying?
Yeah, y'all got it. I mean, listen to that laugh.
John
laugh.
That's a hell no.
That's not a pancake, brother. That's a crepe.
That's true. It is a giant crepe cake.
So yeah. So I mean, yeah. Like I said, that every year that we do this show, it's a good time and we have a lot of fun. And what's happening after the show on Saturday, John?
So Saturday after the show, we have a drink and draw. I don't know if you guys saw the picture that Todd and then also Don Simpson shared today of the palette of of Megaton Man beer. We're helping Don celebrate 40 years of Megaton Man with some Woo Brew. Nice. So Friday night at 7 o'clock at Bill's Burgers, you can come and you can be at the release at 7 o'clock. Don will be there. He'll sign some cans for you. You can buy some. And then Saturday we're having a charity.
Is there artwork? Is there artwork on the cans?
Yeah, yes. It's all printed, pre-printed, but Don will sign it, and it's an exclusive art to that label. I'm pretty sure Todd, like my boss Todd, bought the art from Don. At least I hope he would, but I don't know.
So he usually does.
That's Friday and not Saturday?
Friday is the beer release. Saturday is the charity drink and draw. So Sammy Castillo is going to be running that. And there's two separate categories. You can either be a professional, which means you have had something published somewhere, or you're an amateur and you've never had anything published. The winner of the professional one is going to win a booth in Artist Alley next year at our show. And amateur one is going to win a gift basket from DJ Coffin's Draw or Die. So it's going to have like notebooks and pencils and all kinds of drawing stuff in it. Unfortunately, DJ can't make it to the show. He had cancel, but he's dropping that basket off to me tomorrow.
Who's the DJ?
DJ Coffin. His name is DJ. He's not an actual DJ.
Well, I'm just checking, man. I'm just making sure, man, because I ain't want to have no problems with nobody. I'm just, you know, we don't.
I mean, I, I could have had Larry bring his equipment, or not Larry, Todd bring his equipment. He could have set up.
Or you should have, you should have just had me.
Or you.
Yeah, yeah, man.
But
the real deal. Todd just had a fucking excuse my language. Todd just had a festival last week.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Actually, I need to get with you to get in touch with the August Wilson people, because I tried to get in touch with them like months ago to be like, hey, we're bringing in Todd and Larry. This is like a big deal. You guys want to do something? And they never respond at all.
Should call me. See,
I didn't think about it.
I'm the plug. Yeah, you got to see. You got to go straight to the source, baby.
That's the bridge. You got to get the bridge.
You got to go right. You know, it's like the Godfather, man. You got to come and, you know, talk for a second. And, you know, I got you.
sit down, right?
You know, we'll make it work. But I'll say that they're super busy, and it could have just got lost in the shuffle. You know, they're really good at getting back.
Yeah.
So it could have just been something that was lost. But, you know, like I said, I have a relationship, obviously, you know, with both of them. And, you know, now that we're in the process of doing this particular relationship that we have, you know, we could just, and going forward, we'll be able to make some things happen in that particular way, you know.
So, awesome.
You know, we'll make some things work.
Keeping it moving, keeping it busy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and just, you know, next eight. When is the next one after this?
The next Three Rivers?
Yes.
It'll be the first weekend of June in 25.
Oh, like so it's, you only do it once a year?
Once a year. Yes. Once a year. Dude, if I did this more than once a year, I may finally have started to go gray. I don't know.
Right.
I was going to say, if we did more than one, John's going to have to start providing everybody with edibles. That's what's going to
happen. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I don't know if I... One thing I wanted to add to what I said about Three Rivers Con, of all the conventions we do every year, and I mean, we used to do a lot of conventions. We've kind of backed out of a lot of them. Three Rivers is by far my favorite convention. It's the one that we always do well at. It's the one we always have a good time at.
And you get to sleep in your own bed.
At the end of the night.
That's a plus, yeah.
That's true. He does. Yeah.
No, so you know, it's a fun time. Like I said, I've been to so many different cons. You know, I go to different cities and I see different stores. I'm gonna tell you something. Pittsburgh has the best comic book stores, comic book culture, out of damn near any city I've went to. Like all of these, you see these stores online and in the social media spaces, and they're big names and whatever. You go to the stores and it's like, this is. I got these books at the house. Like, this isn't anything. Like, I look at, you know, from New Dimension to Phantom to Ides, which is the store I grew up in. Comics aren't missing in this city. Like, this is a city where you can still pull up to somebody's house and they'll pull out a box of comics that their grandfather has, and it's all heat in there. You know, you could go to a garage sale and find two Hulk 181s in a dirty bag, and a dude only wants like a couple dollars because he doesn't care about looking it up on eBay. Like,
oh man, show me where that's at. Yeah, I need that 181 for $2.
Comics are deep here. Like, I see things, you know, where people are like, oh, this store's closing in Philly, this store's closing in California, but in Pittsburgh, not only are the stores holding strong, but there's new ones opening even.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have an increase in stores in the past 5 years, like really.
Yeah. But
Go ahead.
I was going to say, to kind of piggyback on what you said, like the manager at our meal store, Ryan, he literally got his Hulk 181, which would probably grade at least at a 9, at a flea market in town couple years ago, and a dude just had a box, short box, and it just said comics $10 each, and he pulls it out and he's like, really? And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, here you go. And he just like baby carried it to his car.
Right, I'm not mad.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you're right, like, you know, this city has not just so many shops, it's got a lot of talent, it's got a lot of creative juices. Like, there are artists that lived here and then have come back. There's artists that have lived here for a while and love to come back and visit.
Right.
Like Joe Jusko used to live here. Fred Van Lente used to live here. There's a lot of guys who used to live here. Like Lee Weeks used to live up here in Cranberry for a while.
Oh, wow.
And it's Dicko
only lived like an hour away.
Yeah, well, hour and a half, Johnstown.
That's an
hour
to me.
That's an hour. Yeah. That's that, you know.
Don't forget to mention Jim Shooter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jim Shooter. Yeah. Who's almost as tall as Phil. It's crazy, man. And then the crazy part is and it's so many different eras are covered in there too. If you talk to Howard Bender, right? That dude worked at Marvel and DC in the 70s and 80s. He and I were talking yesterday about how he made the joke about a lot of his buddies are dead. Mm. I used to hang out with George Perez. I used to hang out with Lynn Wynn. He's like, we used to all get together at Pittsburgh Comic Con, and then they'd come over to our house and drink and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Howard, you and I need to talk more about a guest list for next year. But then you have guys, then you have the next gen guys of Ron Kranz, Pat Olive, Scott McDaniel, those guys. And then you have young guys like Dave Wacker and Robert Hack, who are currently in Jim Rugg, and those guys who are doing it now, right? And then there's the guys that are on the cusp, like you guys are all on that cusp of getting you're priming yourself so that when you get to that point, it's gonna be like you're gonna roll. You're not gonna try and fail. You're gonna nail something down, and it's gonna be awesome. And we're all gonna be there supporting you because that's what we do. Right.
And Jason Wright too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's so much good, so many good guys in here. I know I'm missing people. But there's so many good independent creators. There's so many good underground guys. It's nuts. Just the sheer amount of talent in the city.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Comics Pro was in town in February again. And some of the guys I took to dinner were walking through town, and they're just like, it feels like old New York in here. I'm like, well, that's because Andrew Carnegie built both of those areas. and then I started talking about just creators in the area, and they're just like, holy shit, that's a lot. And then I was like, yeah, and there's close to 15 shops, I think, from the center of the city. Right. Drive an hour and a half. I bet you can hit at least 15 shops. I mean, six of them are ours, but whatever. Yeah, I bet and then three are Phantoms, and then so on and so forth. But there's a lot, and it's nice to see that shops that have a big footprint like us and Ides, they are very massive spaces, and they're still rolling. And then there's also little guys like Geekadrome and K&J and Big Bang that are the smaller than some people's bedrooms. And they're still
Bill and Waltz.
Doing well too. Bill and Waltz, yeah. I mean, Doom Planet, Doom Planet and Bill and Waltz have the worst hours in the city for shops, but they're great shops to go to. You can get in there when they're open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good time. So, Pittsburgh, we love comics. What can I say?
You guys like comics?
Yeah, but
you guys like comics?
But I'm really excited about this weekend. And just to, I don't want to keep plugging myself. I do want people to understand that when this exhibit happens, it's going to be able to compete with anything comic related you've ever seen in a museum. My plan is to blow that shit out the water. I'm not playing games here. This isn't. Even with my film, I'm not playing games. I need certain people to understand the seriousness of this. And it's important. And it's about, at the end of the day, it's about the culture. It's about the comic book culture, as a whole. And, I just wanted to show it in a totally different light. And, there's so much Pittsburgh in this film. And it's not just because this is where I'm from. It's just literally... It just makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. We are I'm talking my shit, man. We, you know, Pittsburgh is, you know, the city of champions. You know, we're winners. We breed nothing but winners. That's what we do. I don't care what nobody says. You know, we breed nothing but winners. I mean, they changed the whole baseball, John. The number one personal top of there is from Pittsburgh. So, you know, I can't argue with that. You know, we're a sports town. We're a hardworking town. We're hardworking people. We like to get the job done. It's not just about the results. It's about the process. And I think that when you see this film, you know, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And there's so much more I want to say about it, but I'm just going to be quiet. And, you know, when y'all see me acting different, you know why. So it's
trying to be a super famous, being famous.
It's going to be, but it's
the carpet.
I think the thing is, though, this is just something that I was going to make this film regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father collected comics. My stepfather collected comics. I used to walk from the north side to when Ives was on Federal Street, and then when they moved. And it's just, it's part of my journey, but I think it's part of, you know, when you watch the film, you'll be able to watch it through your own lens, and you'll be able to say this is part of my journey as well. So I think that's one thing that makes my particular project unique, I would say.
Yeah, one of the good things when me and Marvin did the KDKA segment yesterday on PTL was the producer guy was like, you know, we never did anything like this before, you know, with comics and stuff, you know, presenting like a Comics Burg thing and just presenting the culture, you know, of Pittsburgh and everything. So it was so great to hear that and that we were like, you know, one of the first ones, you know, to come up in there and actually just show and actually represent Pittsburgh. As far as like the, you know, the comics culture and stuff. And I got like so many text messages. I'm glad you're representing the arts. I'm glad you're representing, you know, comics and stuff. We don't see like that, you know, we don't see stuff like this too often on TV, you know, much less comics, you know, in particular. Comics just don't get represented as a whole, period. So for Pittsburgh to actually just represent that, the KDKA situation was just so beautiful yesterday. So
that was fire, man. You guys were
Was that today or yesterday?
Yesterday. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Trailblazing. Yeah. Trailblazing. I love it.
Yep.
Right. Did you guys get to hang out with Ron Smiley at all?
He's a total nerd.
Did he come over and be like, do you guys happen to have any comics with you? Like, I can see him doing that. He is a big freaking nerd. It's awesome. I remember I think you guys were there. Like, we did that book festival, the Festival of Books, when it was in Bakery Square.
Yeah.
And he was there because he was like judging something or announcing something. And he came over to our booth and he just started talking to us about comics for a half hour, 45 minutes. And his kid was like, Dad, we gotta go. And he's like, no, I'm talking comics.
John, I think he really wanted to, but he had to do the weather, you know. Oh. So we had to get out. So, you know, he still like said, had some work to do. But I could tell he wanted to talk with us afterwards about some stuff and everything.
Yeah, we saw him do the weather. Yeah.
I know that the weatherman on TAE gave the show a plug every time he did the weather that same morning. Like, he talked about Comic-Con as he went through it. I was like, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So, and thank you guys for pushing the plug. That was very, very appreciated.
You looked great on camera there, John.
I did. I was in almost as much footage as you guys.
Like, there we go.
I was like, oh, cool. They pulled all the photos from my – those were all my personal photos, too, the ones they used.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. Actually, Justin was in one of the stills, too.
I'm always the shadow, though.
No, I'm just the shadow. It was the command crew of the show photo from last year when we took it on the loading day.
I really didn't look that great, so
it's okay. And when we do this year, I'm going to look just as bad, and Scott's probably going to look the worst because he's like damn near like ready to go to the hospital sick. Like, I think we're not even talking about that. Like, I just hope he gets better by tomorrow because I really need him to not die. So.
Hey, don't want that to happen.
You gotta get him a blood bag like at Mad Max.
Right?
Oh, man. Hey, to piggyback off of a point you made earlier, John, I mean, having Pittsburgh represent comics is such a important thing. You know, you're talking about you know, people coming up, you know, what Phil's doing, what we're doing, Heron Burke, you know, just everybody trying to actually represent the culture and push it forward. It's like that luck meets, it's like that opportunity meets preparation you was talking about. And that's where luck happens. So, you know, we keep pushing and pushing and pushing, you know, something eventually is just going to pop. And the whole point of it, at least for me and Comicsburg, is to keep comics represented, because people still read, people still want to read, you know, at the end of the day. And for them to focus on the comic stuff, I mean, what we grew up on, what Phil just said that we grew up on, it's a beautiful thing.
So I have a question for you Comicsburg guys, because I never thought to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it because I think our show is a very good avenue for the answer to this. So my question is, as a indie publisher, do you actively look for new parts of the family and parts of the team, and how do you go about doing that? Or do you just only wait till someone asks you, how do you go about that? Are you looking to grow that team? I'm just curious, because I've never been on that side. I used to know the guys in Action Lab, and I used to, watch some of the editors do, people would bring up portfolios and things like that. But I never, you guys are fresh in the diamond world. You are, just creeping on that, starting to be a little more than just regional. So I'm just curious how that goes. So
I think more or less, like, it's just happenstance that we, you know, Grant, you know, Manny, Marvin, and I, we just happen to want to actually put stuff out there. You know, first and foremost, put our money into our projects and actually, you know, get it out and distribute it out there. I mean, takes number one, you know, putting your own self and your own personal, you know, it's just putting your own personal self into your books. I don't say that we actually go out looking for folks, but if they actually come and we actually see, okay, you're doing your own thing. You know, Marvin could to attest to this, because, you know, people come to us and email us, you know, all the time. Okay, well, we want to, you know, be an artist on a project and everything. And Marvin, I mean, you could, like I said, speak more to, you know, to that instance.
Right. So, I mean, it's not that we're looking, it's that we give the impression that we know what we're doing. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it looks better than it is. But I mean,
Illusion of safety.
yeah. Well, yeah, that
Yeah,
kind of thing.
exactly.
So we do have ancillary people in the group. So we've got four other people. We've got Paige in Florida. We've got a few people in New York. We've got some people in Pittsburgh that haven't pushed forward yet. So, I mean, the team is bigger than what it seems like. And will we become something that can be a mid-tier publisher? Maybe sometime in the future that could be a thing. But he said is that we're not actively looking, but if we see something that looks like that fits what we want to do, then we'll readily say we'll recruit that person and bring them in.
I would say too, this I sort of look at it as like an image type thing, you know, where we're separate, you know, independent studios, you know, putting together our own work and putting it out there under the Comicsburg banner and stuff. So if you look at how Image was formed back then, they had their own independent stuff, and nobody has any, you know, autonomy over the other person and stuff, no say so in any other projects and stuff. When we do see somebody out there physically hard working, you know, talking to, you know, comic book store owners and, you know, doing their thing, doing what we, you know, already been doing, no, that's an attractive thing. You know, you want to actually have somebody who's serious about what they're doing, instead of just, you know, looking for a handout, or okay, well, look at my work. And not to say that, you know, that's not a way to go, but I personally admire people who are on the hustle, you know, who are actually out there. Okay, well, you know the ins and out of talking with the store, you know how to, you know, communicate with people at a convention and everything.
As
Right.
it like as you know as I called you guys at the last two Comics Pros, I would talk to my colleagues, and and they'd be like, man, those guys from Comicsburg, they're just like hustling. And I'm like, they are some of the hardest working dudes in the industry. And they put out good product, and you know, it's good. And I am proud to call you guys fellow Pittsburghers.
Thanks, it's good.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Even as a transplant, because I only moved here in 07.
newbie.
Where are you from originally?
St. Mary's, PA, which is if you go on 28 and drive 2.5 hours north, you'll hit it.
Okay.
That's Pittsburgh.
Middle of nowhere. Well, weirdly, it's equidistant between Erie, Pittsburgh, and State College. Like, if you drew a straight line between Erie and State College, St. Mary's is pretty much that point in the middle. There's nothing but a brewery, and that's it.
Right. Powder Mill. Far away from Dubois, then? Is it near Dubois?
It's 40 minutes north of Dubois on 119.
Oh, wow. That is far.
The mall there, the mall in Dubois, that's where I used to hang out on weekends. I'd drive down to Dubois to go to the mall.
No. All right, but if you talk to anybody not from PA, there's only three cities in Pennsylvania anyway: Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Erie. That's it. So you're either from
Scranton.
Scranton just got put on the map because of the office. So I mean,
yeah,
there's only two. So do y'all did y'all know that particular artist by the name of Caron Grant has Pittsburgh ties too? He's lived here for a while.
No.
Caron Grant, he's actually doing he's out in LA now. So he's did he has like some Spawn covers coming up. Mm-hmm. He did like a couple of Spawns coming up. And he did that that Teen Titans, Amanda Waller, Beast, something you know what book I'm talking about. Y'all have it in the shop. So the thing about that particular book was that a lot of people don't know that was the first time DC Comics did an all black superhero team. And
really,
he was the artist. See, this is what happens when y'all fuck with me. Y'all get people who know these type of facts. You know what I'm saying? So,
but I would have just thought they would have done that before. But you know, that's crazy that it only happened now.
It's happened now, and the guy that has ties here, did the artwork for it, and most of his artwork is a lot of painted work. And I, you know, of course, that's a segue to me. You know, I might as well flex this a little bit since we're here. You know, I got one of the original pages, you know.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Paper and pencil pages, man. Like, he is a.
That's Vixen.
I see Vixen.
Yeah, it's a crazy page. And I feel like this is a book, and it's going, and I'm going to talk about this book in my movie. So if y'all want to go ahead and grab this up now before it's worth some bread, because it's a key book. It's a key. It's the first time that's ever happened in DC history. It's crazy. So, and do y'all remember when what's the candy bar that used to be here? Was it Clark Candy or whatever
Clark,
that is?
Mark. Yeah.
There's
Clark
a lot.
Bart, yeah.
There's a. So you remember the ads they used to have in the comics back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
They had the one with like Spider-Man and Red. It was like Milk Dud ads, like 2-page ads, and they had a big ad with the Joker and all that type of stuff. Almost all that artwork is in Pittsburgh. Like the originals.
Okay. Wow.
A lot of that originals is Pittsburgh. Guess who has it? That would be me. So I'm going to go in too. So if you remember the Joker ad, it was, let me pull this out. I don't play, man. So this was the
Holy
Joker
shit. Ad. That's awesome.
That's the joke.
That is awesome.
You know, nice. you flip this up. That's just crazy.
Oh,
ain't it?
Man.
That's crazy.
Who did the art on that? Do you know?
I wish it was Neil Adams. I'm not sure who did
it. It looks Neil-ish.
It does definitely looks Neil-ish.
Here's the Doctor Doom artwork for it.
Oh, did. Wow.
Yeah, so, and this is like the different, adds like the different color proofs, so you like, you know, you flip it over, and then when you get down there, it gets down to the pencils. Oh, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, original comic art is something that, you know, people people don't draw and a lot of people don't draw in pen and pencil anymore. So this is becoming a lost art form.
Yeah, you're totally right about that.
But it's important. You know what I mean? And there's a bunch of doomed faces that they were working, you know, when they were thinking doing the ads. And they weren't sure what face they were going to do, so I have the Doom face sketches.
That just looks like he's cursing that Reed Richards in every one of those.
Right.
Curse you,
somebody
Richards!
Was like, I'm just going to trace some Kirby. It'll be fine.
I'll show this piece, too. So I was in New York, and we went to me, my girl, Larry, Todd, and a bunch of other artists. We ended up at a comic store called Bulletproof Comics. And I had asked, I said to Larry, I said, man, I really want you to do me a Storm piece. And he had started already. So if you watch, when you watch the trailer, there's like a quick second of us all sitting down eating. And while we're eating breakfast, he hooked this up for me.
Oh, that's sick. Nice.
This is why we're eating breakfast. This is crazy. He had started it the night before, but I watched him finish it. Well, then he started to finish it while we were eating. And then when he went to the book signing, he had it just sitting next to him and it just going at it, man. It was incredible. So
that's awesome.
I quit, man. I know this turned to show and tell time, and I don't want to.
You know, that's awesome.
He did this cloak and dagger for me too. That's crazy.
Oh man.
Nice.
So
that is hot.
I love like almost negative space that he used for dagger. I love it.
I mean that's he you know what, man, and I'm gonna tell you what, the new Tribe book. I'm not gonna say I see any pages, but
you saw some pages. Come on. Come on.
I was going to say, your body language is telling us all we need to know, man.
All you got to tell us is it fire or...
I plead like, the fifth.
Okay. How about this? So is it like top tier Larry or is it medium tier Larry? Because there's no bottom tier Larry. There's top or medium.
I know exactly where you're coming from, respectfully. I know exactly where you're coming from. This is all I'm saying is that they came back serious.
Good. Like That's all you need to say. You're good.
It's not a game. Like they're, you know, in nice. Todd and Larry are some of the coolest people on the planet, man. And you know, for me, it's like Larry still has like all of his Tribe original artwork pages.
Really?
Yeah. I'm probably telling. I got. I think he has. And so he won't let none of those go. So trust me. That's my guy. He won't. He's not gonna let any of those go. But like when you meet Todd and Larry, man, you know, they are some of the coolest people on the planet. They are exactly who you think they are, too. I'll put it to you like that, you know, just so you know. They are exactly who you think they are. There's no facades. There's no whatever. But these two individuals, they work so well together. And, you know, I really hope that it just – I really hope that people gravitate towards this particular book because I feel like it's important. And it was like – but that book sold like a million copies. It's crazy. Yep. There's thousands of them out there.
Still holds
like,
the records, man. Still holds the record.
Still holds the records. Yeah. You know, and yep. it's just that's another thing that's just important. So hopefully, you know, with this particular piece is going to turn into something crazy. So we'll see. And I would also say, you know what, this is just me. That everybody should try to commission a piece from Larry when he gets here. He will do it. And I'm just going to leave it at that. He will hook you up with a piece. Everybody need, you know, if you're a serious comic collector, everybody should have original artwork in their collection. Doesn't have to be a Jack Kirby $60,000 piece, but everybody should have original artwork in their collection.
Yep.
I'm a big proponent for that, and you'll see why in the next couple of months, but that's a whole nother story that I can't get into right now also. But I'm telling y'all.
Hey, come on, there's a convention just for original comic art down in Florida.
Oh, so since you brought that up, that was a nice segue. I didn't even have to say anything. So
yeah, my buddy Chad's part of that. So
mm-hmm. And Kassara and Mike and I was down there.
Yeah, he invited me down. I just I couldn't make it work for the weekend because that was the first one. Right. But I heard it was awesome.
Yeah, I had a 3-day pass and I can only go for 1 day. And I bought the 3-way pass and I gave the rest of the day to somebody else. Listen, y'all need to do an original art section next year.
I'd be okay with that. I mean, I have no problems with that.
I mean, you know, we might be. I want you to look at this out right here. I'll be at OAX in January.
Do you know what dates they are this year?
It's January something.
Yeah, and I know it's always in January, which is nice to go to Orlando in January because that's where it's at.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna be there.
I'm gonna try. I gotta double check. January is always a crazy weird month for me because I either have to cover vacations for my staff because I let them go first before I take mine. But I know this January, like my wife's actually going on a cruise with her mom, so I have to, you know, watch where I go and what I do. So
you said vacation? Who gets vacations?
What's a vacation?
Yeah, what's that?
Right?
Is John work. Wouldn't know what a vacation is.
I don't know what you want. You want Harrenburg to do what he wanted to show first, and then you can do mine, and then we can.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm gonna need you to resend.
I put it in the chat.
You sent me the link and it opened up a folder. It didn't open up like anything. Like, which one of these do you need me to do?
You can flip through all of them. Like, there's some stuff in there from KDK.
Yeah, we can do that. Let's
then the last other one. The last two are the covers.
Cool. Oh, right. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Why don't we do the Harrenburg thing first? You ready to do that?
I have a screen to show, and then I have a trailer to show, and that's pretty much it. Let's start with the screen first here.
Okay.
Am I sharing screen now?
Not yet.
Nope.
Oh, I have to hit entire screen or no? Window?
That I don't know. I have it set that you can.
Oh, here it goes. Here it goes. I got it. I got it.
There we go.
Can you see the whole screen?
Said it's starting to share. It hasn't loaded yet.
That's a really cool green box there.
Are you seeing the screen now?
There it is.
There we go.
There it is.
I'm just gonna show two things. So thanks for letting me do it. So we talked about Jason Wright, who is as far as I know, the second most prolific comics pro in comics, still living in Pittsburgh, next to Ron Frenz, right? And on the left you have the number 4 issue, which is coming out this weekend. With the Jason Wright cover, Harrenburg Comics number 4. It does have a date of 2023 because it took so long to come out, but it does have a copyright of 2024 inside of it. And in addition, of course, Harrenburg is a TV show, and we have episodes 22 and 23 out. I'm going to show the trailer for 22. One of the stars of 22, two of the stars of 22 are shown right here. They'll be part of our actresses coming on Saturday and Sunday. In the center, you see Bridget, who plays Arctica, Queen of the Frost. She's in episode 22, and she'll be there on Saturday, along with three other actresses, Dark Spectra, Dinah, and Freya. And then on Sunday, we have Jess Z, who plays Chlorina, the Mistress of Toxins. Very evil there and beautiful. And she will be there with two heroines, Sabrina and Gardenia, on Sunday. And they're both in the new episode. I can probably, you can still see my screen, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see if we can play the trailer and then we'll move along to, if it allows me to do that.
It's I, not think, really he did, I think he just mirrored his page. Oh, here we go.
There we go.
There it is. Okay. Here it comes. It's about to, there you go. And 1 second, and here it is.
If there's audio, I don't know why it's not sharing, but.
Oh, you're just getting video?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can hear the audio through my mic.
No, I'm not, at least.
No, I think you have to share the audio with the with Zoom when playing videos.
I mean, the trailer looked good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sorry if you didn't hear any of the audio, huh?
No.
Not through my mic even, huh? Oh, well, anyway, that was the video part of the trailer. It just has the theme song, which most people should hopefully know by now. But anyway, yeah, so that's the trailer for episode 22. 22 and 23 are now out, and you'll see some of the stars there at Three Rivers Comic Con on Saturday and Sunday.
There you go.
Let me now go over to where I will share the screen.
Marvin.
There we go.
I'm everywhere.
He's like Savoir Faire.
As you should be, sir. As you should be. So, so here's a picture from you guys on PTL.
Guess who took all the photos, John?
You, I assume.
Yes, thank you.
I find it funny because, like, you know, listening to Dave in the morning every day, you would think that dude would be into comics and be nerdy, but he's not. Like, he's totally not into comics. But you would think he would because of how his personality is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's a super nice guy. Everybody on that show is super great.
Yeah,
I wish Daisy could come to the show this year, but she's on her honeymoon, watching the Grand Prix over in South France. So, this is Beowulf, right?
So this is one of our process boards that shows the from the script to the finished page.
Right.
So that'll be part of our script to store panel on Saturday. So we'll have these boards and show everybody how you start and finish a page.
Saturday at noon.
And that's thanks to Mr. Grant.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that is issue number 8 of The Edge. So this is
nice cover.
Joint cover. So 8 and 9 are joint covers with interim in a precarious position, I'll say. So then that is the cover to issue 9.
Look at the anger on that face.
That's a mean face.
She is pissed.
Yeah. So on the first cover, those characters are called, there are cannon fodder characters called the Fiends, and mm-hmm. these are the M's. So if you're noticing a little similarity between them, that is purposely.
So I guess my question is, like, mm-hmm. this dude looks like he's actually in pain. Is there, like, yes. is that actually, like, attached to him as, like, biologically? Yes. Okay.
So
I thought it was just part of the suit for a minute.
Right. So these characters are kind of my, like, a love letter to the Jim Hadar from Deep Space Nine. Mm. So they're
Are they addicted to a drug like Ketracel White?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Gotta read the books.
It's in the book. So they're bred for combat, and they're kind of interfaced into their armor at birth.
That's kind of cool. I dig that.
It's kind of cool and it's kind of cruel. So this is something behind the scenes.
Look, there's Ron Smiley. I told you. There he is.
I said he was doing the weather.
KDK's biggest nerd, Ron Smiley.
Are we going, is he scheduled to be? Is he going to come to the show and do the weather?
No, but that'd be awesome. I would love for him to do the weather from the show. That'd be awesome. I will. You know what? I will email them and see what they can do. So.
Right. So here are the live books that I've got them.
Nice. I'm excited to bring those up.
I've still got two bags of coffee left. So some lucky person is going to get those.
Coffee, you say? I mean,
you could sprinkle that in your monster, John.
Yeah, like, so we were at Sam's Club yesterday, like buying stuff for the green room, which, by the way, there's a green room for vendors and press. It's not going to have a lot. It's mostly water and then like Pop-Tarts and like granola bars and like breakfasty snacks. But Pop-Tarts, man, I love them, right? Who doesn't like a Pop-Tart? So I bought an entire case of Monster and I'm going to write John's only.
So anyone named John can have it, right?
Only John with no H's can have it. Yeah. Like,
so since you bought up Pop-Tarts, did you watch the Unfrosted movie on Netflix?
I did. I thought it was really good. It was very funny, and I thought Amy Schumer's character was actually extremely well done. Because that character in like that real person was like a huge philanthropist.
Yeah.
And actually, as much as I hate to say mention anything about this guy, but that's the person who built Mar-a-Lago.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but it doesn't matter because he's going to be on vacation for a long time. So it's okay. Anyway. Cool.
Well, did you hear the other big news dropped today?
What's
you're on X. Did you not see the link I sent you? The new popcorn bucket topper for Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Yeah, that was.
It's not as bad as the Dune one, thank God. But it's still pretty suggestive.
It's a little creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
But it's not as bad as the Dune one. The Dune one is so bad.
Yeah. Not good. We'll call it. But awesome. Well, I don't know. Unless you guys got something else, I think we're good.
Can roll that beautiful beat footage.
Oh yeah. Let me. Hold on. I gotta get that link up again. Give me 1 second.
Too many links.
You emailed that to me, right, Marvin?
Yes.
Okay.
I can grab it again if you need me to.
Nope, I got it.
Okay, awesome.
All right, let me just make sure I pause it before it starts. Okay, make it big. Well, don't make it that big. All right, we're gonna watch Collections in Black trailer. Oh, hold on, gotta let DV back in. For some reason, he left. Now he's coming back.
You might want to mute everybody's audio so it sounds right.
Hopefully it works. Hopefully the sound works. If the sound doesn't work after the first couple seconds, I will I'll restart it and figure it out. So unmute. Big. Now let's see. Ready? Fingers crossed.
No,
that's super choppy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Hold on, you guys heard it, right?
No.
No sound.
Nah, and it's choppy, man. Like a stop animation video, man. We can't do that, man.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can get this. Why?
Yeah, I think you have to share the audio from the browser.
Yeah. Hold on. I gotta shrink it. And I think
it's crazy. It's very difficult for me to get YouTube views, but I have like thousands. I'm almost at like 6,000-7,000 in social media space with the views. So
that's awesome.
It's crazy. Between Facebook and IG.
That's that algorithm It's eating you up. It kills our videos too.
I heard your shorts do pretty good.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, shorts.
Try. That's why more people are doing the shorts nowadays.
Let's back this up. Try it again.
I think this documentary, if we could capture what's...
Hold on. Could you hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear it. It's real.
Sounds okay, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Last time, I promise. We're watching the whole thing this time. All minute and 24 seconds.
I think this documentary, if we could capture what's going on right now, it would be like going in the past and getting... the Harlem Renaissance, capturing that on film in the beginning.
What's important about this film is you are documenting exactly all aspects of how that is affecting this industry. Start talking about, you know, the whole collection process. You're talking about fans, you're talking about collectors, you're talking about investors, you're talking about the producers, the workers. What you're capturing here is going to be important years after we're gone, because I think your film is going to show a side of this that nobody ever thought about. And it's taken all this long to actually put this level of commitment into what you're trying to show. People are going to be shocked. Oh, there's that many black people that are into this, and they spend this, and this business is this big?
Everywhere.
I'm honored to be a part of it. Larry's honored to be a part of it. This is going to be... This is going to be...
What I was doing is whatever I worked on, I added black characters into the. I'd stick them in the background. That's how I started doing all the crowd scenes. I'm gonna have somebody black in this somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I think this document
looks great.
There you go.
Great.
Oh man.
Great.
Oh yeah. No,
I love I love the slight, the real quick scene in our waterfront store with Marvin.
Sure, definitely. Y'all definitely.
Have my fares everywhere.
Definitely made an appearance. You know, so
that's awesome. That was great. I'm super excited. I think it's gonna be killer. So
thank you.
I'm ready to see it. It's really funny because like. You know, we were talking about, you know, how, you know, there's so much culture in here, and like we're all kind of like nerds together, and like I was just thinking about this. Well, you know, saw Larry and Todd on there, and from the one phone call each that I've had with those guys, I'm just like, man, these guys are like so humble, and yet they have so much talent just like jammed in there, right. And it's weird to talk to Larry, especially because like. After the tribe, he stopped doing comics for 20 some years, almost 30 years. And then, he was a DJ, like he does a lot of other stuff like that now. And Larry, it was funny. Cause I called him to book his travel. And I just said, trains, planes, and automobiles, which way you want to go. And he just,
I already know where you're going with it. I know,
you know, you know, and he was such a down to earth dude, and it was really nice to like talk to those people, and it's kind of the vibe of our show too, like where you don't have to spend $60 to go through 10 feet to talk to the guy to be shooed through in 3 minutes or 3 seconds.
Right.
You can walk up to these guys, you can talk to them about their work, you can talk to them about how their work impacted your life, and you can get to know some of the guys that have changed your life because of the comics that they've done. And, you know, I think a lot of us are very blessed on that end, like where we get to talk to those guys a lot. My guy was Scott McDaniel, because the very first comic I ever remember buying was like an Avengers annual that had his art on. I mean, it was the B team of Avengers, but you know, I think it was 20 something. It was the one with Blood Wraith on it, like super crazy throwaway 90s character, but it had this cool backstory of like the Ebony Blade and stuff like that. So like, you know, when we see Black Knight and stuff at the end of Eternals, I got like a big shiver down my spine because I loved it so much. But Scott was my guy, like, and then he was Nightwing, and then you know, and then guys like Mike Lilly did it, and Jamal. And all those guys, like, to get to know all those guys because they worked on a piece of art that got me through part of my life,
mm-hmm.
helped make my life the way it is. It's like a huge, it's a huge moment, you know, and whether it be music or art or literature or any of the liberal arts, like those are the things that, you know, that change lives for the better. And if you can bring somebody to a show like ours and get them into one comic book, whether it be Superman, Batman, The Tribe, The Edge, Beowulf, Thief of Thieves, Heroin Bird, I don't care. Like, I don't care what it is. Try to get a book. You know, I told the story a couple weeks ago, but my cousin lives in Frederick, Maryland, and he had never been to a Comic-Con ever. He's got a kid. His son is his early teens, and they had never been to a comic book shop. They've never were never into comics. And I said, hey, I'm down at Baltimore Comic-Con. Why don't you guys come down and hang out and check it out? And they were like, well, we've never been there. I said, well, just bring your son, like have him bring some friends. I don't care. I guarantee you're going to have a good time. And, you know, 30 minutes in, like we're not even a third of the way through the floor. And he's just like, this is what you do for a living? I'm like, and he's like, this is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It pays like crap, but it's a lot of fun. And he even found like a novel in Artist Alley that you know struck his fancy. His son found a couple comics that he liked. He found like a prop Halo gun, so he was pumped for the rest of the weekend. And you know, and so I've changed their lives and brought them a little bit into my world of art, of you know, just expanding your horizons while also teaching you good lessons. That's really, I believe, the mission of comics and creating, and the arts in general. And, you know, I support it. I support it all the way around, and that's what our show is about. And I'm excited to get this weekend, you know, get it going and see all the smiles on everybody's face. And you know, hopefully it works out really well and everybody has a great time. So.
Okay. Does every year so far.
As long as it's not like a random tornado that happens. Okay.
You know, it's,
but you know
it's,
what? The country concert will get canceled that way.
You know, so I just want to say something too, you know, just on a serious note, is that, you know, when you were talking about how the culture, you know, happens, you know, the culture, the fandom, collecting, it brings people together in a certain way, you know. Like when I was younger, like I said, my dad and my stepfather both collected comics, right? But I've never seen my father read a comic, nor have I ever seen my stepfather read a comic. And so when my dad used to go to work, me and my brothers used to sneak in his comic box, right? And we would, you know, meanwhile, we were risking our lives doing that, because if we got caught, he would destroy us. My dad's old school. He didn't play them games. So I remember I fell in love with Black Panther because he used to collect Jungle Action, Black Panther, Marvel Tales, and all the cowboy comics. And I got a cowboy story for you because of that. Now, my little brother Seth accidentally ripped a page, a Jungle Action page, and we were shook. We put the books back. We never went back in that box again. But that one particular page is from Jungle Action. I forget the number, 1819. And this, the splash page is where T'Challa is drinking water, and there's a guy with a bow and arrow behind him, and he has all these thorns sticking out of him. And that page goes for like $8,500. And that is like probably like my holy grail piece. That's the one piece I really want in my collection at one particular point. But it's just, I think about these particular moments where I was this young kid, just, you know, you have moments when you get out of comics, and now I look into it, and now I'm like, I have an exhibit coming. I have a whole film coming. Mm. My heroes are now my peers. Mm-hmm. You know, I could talk to the dopest people in the industry and have conversations. One of my homeboys, one of his peoples that he's really cool with is Simone Bianchi. I forgot to say his last name. I'm near with them at OAX. Just, you know, we just there, you know. you know, to be able to walk around with Steel Freeze for an hour and just to talk about books. And then when I'm at OAX, I had a an art collector come up. Steel Freeze introduced me to somebody. And the guy knew exactly who I was before I said anything. He looked at me and he said, "You bought that Black Panther piece with the Buffalo Soldier." And I was like, "Word, how'd you know?" or whatever. And the segue into that, the reason why I bought that piece was because my father was in the Cowboys when we were young. He liked cowboy movies. And so when I saw that issue, that splash page where the Buffalo Soldier was towering over the Black Panther, As soon as I picked up the comic, I saw who the artist was. I instantly hit him up on Instagram. And I said, "Is this digital or is this a pen and pencil?" He said, "It was a pen and pencil." I said, "What do you want for the page?" And he sent me over to his agent. I was pissed. I thought he was going to kill me when he did that. But he sent me to his agent, and you know, we struck a deal, and I have it in my collection.
That's awesome.
And then I showed it to my dad, and of course I'm thinking my dad's gonna be like, "Son, this is great." My dad was like, "Man, what the hell is this shit?" I'm like, "What?" He was like, "Why are there aliens in it? Black Panther don't fight aliens." I just went like this. Oh man. I was like, "Really?" But it wasn't for him. You know, it was for me. Like, it was just for me. It was like a representation of my childhood, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
I mean, that's the whole reason I bought the Nightwing compendium, because it was, you know, that was my childhood right there. So.
Right. And that's it's important, man. You know, it's.
Yeah, art represents like a memory. You know, you go back into you go back in a time when you sort of like go back into your collection and look at some of the old the stuff that you if you call it like digging in the crates. Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the that's the piece right there.
That is nice.
I had to have this piece. So
yeah, I mean, art therapy, music therapy, like all that stuff. Like it's about a moment in time that's good for people and. You know, because music does that a lot too. Like you see it,
facts.
Especially with like veterans. Like if you've ever gone to like where veterans are when like a band will play stuff from like they'll play like patriotic songs or they'll just play songs from like the 40s or the 50s. And these guys that you know were in you know World War II or even you know Vietnam or whatever, and like they'll hear these songs and. Maybe they're not quite with us anymore, but all of a sudden they light up and they remember in that moment. And it's you know, it's a beautiful thing. And,
right.
And comics are a way to do that with other people like that. And that's why I don't hate the reprints. I hate the reprints because I don't think they look as good because I think the coloring's different, but right. I like them because they can
spark a memory, spark something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, especially some of the stuff now, because a lot of the stuff now is stuff where kids, like their dads or their moms, like read those books when they were younger. And they can look at it and be like, "Oh, I remember buying that. And oh, I was your age and blah, blah, blah." And then the stories start happening. And it's a bonding experience. Yeah. And, I think that's really cool that people can do that. Like, or maybe it's an uncle or grandfather even. I just think it's a cool way to share experiences and life with people. Right. So,
and that's important.
Yeah.
Important. And get so many more generations into comics and stuff, you know, I mean, we're the ones that introduce them and, you know, get them to reading. I mean, my dad gave me my first comic at 5 years old. And I was into reading ever since. That's what got me into reading. So if we can even help that way, it's a beautiful thing.
I think the literacy part is such an important part in the culture. I must keep using the term the culture. It's just an important part in the culture because that I have somebody in my film who learned how to speak English from reading comic books. You know, and then for us, a lot of times that was some of the first things we read. I mean, it was a particular point when Marvel was doing Spidey Super Stories. You know, they had the easy, it was the easy reader edition. Shout to Morgan Freeman. You know what I'm saying? It was the easy reader edition because they wanted to make it easier for kids to read, less words, which is, and what's funny is these comics now today only have like 100 words per issue, where, you know, back in the day when you read a comic, you had, you sat down with that thing.
Oh yeah.
You sat down with it and you were transported and you know,
it was exposition central.
Right. and it was written in a way that they didn't treat you like you couldn't read. How about that?
Yeah.
It was literature that just happened to have pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So
indeed. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to start preaching today, but you know,
I agree. I just reread or read for the first time. I have a Showcase 22, 23, and 24. I'm a big Hal Jordan Green Lantern guy, and I read them because I'm going to send them off to get graded this weekend at the show. So I actually read them because I wanted to read a real print of it. I didn't want to read the reprint. I wanted to smell the 50s and 60s in my face. I'm like, four owners before me. No. but it was very interesting because like some parts I was like, oh, it's a little cringy. But other parts it was written in a way that people could relate to it no matter who you were, and you could follow the story. Right, like it wasn't like so much action that you couldn't understand what's going on,
right?
Or too many words and there wasn't enough action. It was a good blend, and I loved Gil Kane's art. So I mean, it was like reading the Bible, right. You know.
Who doesn't love classic Gil Kane?
One of those.
Yeah, absolutely. But getting back to the whole family thing, my whole clan's coming and helping with the con. It's me, my wife, my stepdaughter and her partner, my stepson and his girlfriend, and they're each bringing a friend with them. So it's literally half the crew on the floor is going to be somebody that's
maybe close to a third. And then a good chunk of them are fraternity brothers of mine. And that's my extended family. Like, you know, I consider the word brother to be almost as if you really are blood. So, and we treat each other that way. And, you know, as you should everybody else anyway, you know, it's a lot. Like we're tight knit. And, you know, I said, hey, I need help with this. And everybody was like, yep, I'm here for you. And I do the same in return. And it's great because it's about community. It's about family. It's about culture. You know, it's education. It's all kinds of things. You know, I have a friend who's the STEAM coordinator for Pittsburgh Public Schools, and you know, he loves our show, and he actually he helped me to the point where we gave some students some passes. It was a good time, and hopefully they all come out on Sunday because that's when they're free for. But it'll be cool, man. I'm excited. So, all right. Well, I don't really want to go much longer because I do actually need to get some sleep tonight.
You do 24/7 there, John.
What? Four, 12 hours of sleep over the next 3 days. What did you say?
Oh, boy.
So, all right. So, Comics for Guys, you guys want to do one last plug, and then Phil, you can do a last plug for if you have the dates for your exhibit, and then we'll put the live feed, talk a little bit before you guys bounce, and then we'll be all good.
Grant?
Yeah, you can find me anywhere on social media. My name is Grant Lankert. It's a very distinct name. You put it in the search toolbar, I'm sure you'll find me. The big thing is comicsburg.com. You can go there. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can sign up for Marvin's newsletter as well. I can't remember if DP has his link on there as well. But
go to
comicsburg.com to find out more about us. And I did mention that I have a Kickstarter coming out at the end of this month. So, yeah, go and click notify me on launch.
Next.
Hello, next. I got issue 4 of Theme of Thieves coming out. Comic-Con exclusive. So make sure if you got 1, 2, 3 of Theme of Thieves, it's about 2 teens traveling through time and they're trying to solve a mystery of why people are disappearing in the present. If you like Lost, Quantum Leap, The Wire, bam, Theme of Thieves. Issue 4 is out now. I just got it today from Comics Expression. I'm like so excited.
Awesome. Who's next?
Herwinberg, yeah. So as earlier we showed you, we have issue 4 also out. It'll be at the convention. We also have our new season 3 just started with the first 2 episodes, 22 and 23. And we have more stuff, more live stuff coming out later this month. For example, the show we did back in February at Poetry Lounge with the live, the Heroines playing live in their bands. That's going to be issued next month. And yeah, just look for us at the con in the Comicsburg group of tables. It's one of the largest constellations of groups at the con. And yeah, meet all of our superheroines and villainesses there, and we'll have photos for them to sign and comics for you to get from all of the Comicsburg creators. I'm at heroineburg.com. That is HEROINEBURGH on all social media. Thanks.
Woo! Yeah, well, you can find all of our links from the comicsburg.com website. We'll yep. see you on Saturday. Also, if you're going to be at the show, stop by our panel. It'll be at noon on Saturday, where we're going to tell you how to take a comic book from script to store. And also, I'll have a preview of another book that's coming out from the Edge.
Ooh.
The solo yeah. book. Very, very exciting.
One shot.
Yes.
Or one. All right, cut. Phil, do your plug.
All right, people. Let me get my sexy voice on so I can make sure we do this the right way. This is actually how I wake up. My name is Big Phil. Some of y'all know me as DJ Big Phil, part of Union DJ Squad here in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I do a little bit of everything, but everything I do good. And I just want to say, first and foremost, before I plug myself, I want to thank y'all for letting me be a part of your program today. I really appreciate it, and I don't take any of this for granted. Trust me, I really do. But as I look you in your eyes, on the 25th of July, August Wilson Center, the historic August Wilson Center, we are going to have Collections in Black, and that is going to feature comics, artwork, culture. It's gonna be on 2 floors, baby. I don't know the last time you've seen somebody do that, but that's what I'm doing. And it's not some little exhibit, it's a big extensive exhibit. We're gonna be able to compete with people. You know, I'm trying to win some awards here. And then on the 25th we're also going to show my film Collections in Black. I think I'm going to show a version of it, but I think I'm going to continue and do a director's cut. I had somebody to hit me up. And I was Zoom meeting with a very important person in like a week before. And I can't talk about it right now, but that's I got to get that in there too. But come, be that person that comes and says, yo, I seen this. This was crazy. You know, get in on the ground floor because it's the train's rolling. And I will say, you know, I'm humbled to be in this position. I love, you know, and this is something that I love. You know, I'm not. This is something that I love. I love doing this. So like I said, if I wasn't doing this with the museum and some other entities, this is something that I would still do, you know, and I feel like it's important. And you should come. It's going to be fun for the whole family. And afterwards, we're going to have a biggie party, a big party. We're going to have a symposium. Oh, we're going to have like a Q&A. I'm not sure who's all going to be there, but there's going to be some big dogs in the building. And it's going to be dope. So
awesome, man. And how long does that exhibit run? So it starts on the 25th. How long is it going to run?
No, we're going to be there till like January.
Holy shit. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm not playing no games here.
Dude, that is killer. You left that part out. I'm glad I asked that question. That is awesome,
running.
Man.
Oh, it's running. So so that weekend it's a Thursday. The next day is the gallery crawl. Then there's all these other events. Like it's at the perfect time. You know, God doesn't make any mistakes, man. It's going to be big. You know, we're going to see how we could get New Dimension involved as well. You know,
we'll talk after the con when I have a little bit of sleep, and then we'll be okay. Well, I want to thank all you guys for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have Comics for God. Phil, it's been great having you. You're always welcome to come on and hang out, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
We'll see all you guys this weekend. I mean, I'm so happy to have you guys in my friend circle, and you're extended family. Like that's how I look at it every time. So, all right. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you guys all this weekend at Three Rivers Comic Con. Make sure you buy some comics at your local comic shop. It doesn't need to buy us, but it's nice if it is. Make sure you get your tickets. You can buy them online or at the door. It's going to be the same price unless you go to your New Dimension Comics this Friday. The day before is the last day you can buy them, where we will eat the service fee for it. And we will see you this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Catch you later.
Bye, guys.